We look at our memory verses. Last week's memory verse was from Romans 15:14. Romans 15:14. Shall we all say it together? And concerning you, my brethren, loudly, loud and clear, please. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. Romans 15:14. One more time. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. Romans 15:14. And today's verse is a short one. This is from Proverbs 4:23, from the Good News Bible. Proverbs 4:23. Shall we say it together? Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Proverbs 4:23. Shall we say it again? Be careful how you think, for your life is shaped by your thoughts. Proverbs 4:23. And now we listen to God's word from our brother Newton.
I want to read from Mark chapter 7. This is a well-known verse that Jesus spoke. And you know, whenever Jesus said something very significant, he also added another line. You have ears. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And before that he said, you know, the disciples of Jesus, they were not following all the traditions of the Pharisees. The Pharisees used to wash their hands before they ate. So they asked Jesus, why is it your disciples are not following all the traditions? And then Jesus said in verse 6, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of hypocrites, as written, the people honor me, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. And then Jesus answered their question, the question of the Pharisees, why the disciples are not washing their hands. And Jesus said, verse 14, after he called the crowd to him again, began saying to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand. There's nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. And then he said, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. I want to read it from the Living Bible. Living Bible, it comes out very well. And further down, the disciples asked Jesus to clarify what he meant. And then Jesus said, verse 18, are you so lacking in understanding? Do you not understand whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and is eliminated. Thus he declared all foods clean. And he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, this is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, fornications, theft, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. And in the Living Bible it says beautifully, so that all of us can understand. Verse 20. It is the thought life that pollutes. So beautiful. I'll read it again. It is the thought life that pollutes. And then it is said, how from a heart comes all kinds of sin. And then again verse 23. All these vile things come from within. They are what pollute you and make you unfit for God. You know, all sin originates in our thoughts, And all sanctification or holiness or victory over sin originates in our thoughts. You know, a big aeroplane can be brought down to the ground in 1 minute when a bird hits its engine, what we call bird hit. The bird is small, but it can bring down a huge aeroplane. And a big ship can sink through a small hole. So don't think that our thoughts are insignificant. And you know, all of us in our unconverted days, we read that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. That gives a description of our unconverted days. Maybe verse 1, 2 and 3. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too. I hope you can put your name there. I too. All formerly lived in the lust of flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Or we can say our thoughts. We had used our thoughts for sinning much. And were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. You know, after we are saved, the Lord cleanses all of our sins. And that's the power of repentance and justification. Then we start life anew. The past is completely wiped out. Then we get baptized. And then we get filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the real battle begins. Because we are tempted every day in our thoughts to sin. Like this verse we read this morning, Mark 7. All kinds of sin comes from our heart. And even though our past sins are wiped out, the guilty conscience is removed, every day we are tempted by all kinds of thoughts, dirty thoughts, impure thoughts, sexual thoughts, and it comes again and again and again. And we must know that to be tempted is not sin. All those thoughts can come, but that is not sin. But are you agreeing with the thought? If you're agreeing, and if you're enjoying it, that means you're giving your consent in your mind, and then you're sinning. But the intention is after you're saved, the Lord gives you a new mind. He gives you the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit fights against all dirty thoughts, impure thoughts, evil thoughts, all sinful thoughts. And this is what distinguishes a Christian. He may never be perfect on this earth, but he does not agree when he's tempted by those thoughts. He resists. He rejects. He puts up a battle. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to teach us, like it says in Titus 2. The grace of God will teach us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, and all sinful thoughts. And, you know, it's not only impure thoughts. We get covetous thoughts. We get thoughts of jealousy, envy. Cain was tempted in his mind to be jealous against Abel. And the Lord asked him, why is your countenance fallen? If you intend well, will you not be accepted? And the Lord wanted him to overcome, but Cain could not overcome. And he succumbed to envy and jealousy and anger. And you know, brothers and sisters, we are tempted to tell lies. We are tempted to pride in our daily life. It's all in our thoughts. Nebuchadnezzar just had in his mind, it was I who built this great palace. He didn't speak a word. And the Lord judged him for his proud thoughts. That's how serious sin is. All unloving attitudes begin in our thoughts. Some people can't forgive. Even the basic lesson, they don't know. Oh, they have so much of grudge. No wonder they are sick and they suffer and they don't make progress. And the devil is an enemy. And he puts all kinds of bad thoughts about God. And we are not supposed to listen to it. We are supposed to reject it because he is a liar. Oh, that is why we must be so quick when we are tempted to say, no, I'm not going to accept that thought. That's from the devil. And that's why more we are influenced by God's word. We listen to what God says about him. And then we get good thoughts about God. I'm amazed so many people, they question God. Why this happened to me? Why this didn't happen to me? I was reading the book of Job, and the Lord says, I don't owe any man anything. That's a good verse to remember. Oh, many people got demands, even against the Lord. And that's why their life is miserable. They have not humbled themselves before the Lord, and they have not learned to submit to God's plan in their life, always questioning the Lord, doubting the Lord, doubting his love. Of course, we are tempted, and to be tempted is not wrong. But when you are tempted, do you resist all kinds of sinful thoughts? And I believe that's what makes all the difference. And you know, in the beginning, it is a battle. But if you keep battling, you will win. Did you hear that, brothers and sisters? It's not a lifelong struggle. You keep battling, after some time, you will triumph. Those evil thoughts, impure thoughts, those proud thoughts, they will lose its power over us, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, and because God's given us the Holy Spirit. You know, we read in Romans 8 how there's a conflict between the flesh and the spirit. We have to fight the flesh, fight the world, fight the devil. And that's why we can't afford to be lukewarm, brothers and sisters. You know, when it is tested, whether we are wholehearted or not at the meeting, not in how regularly you come to the meeting. When you're tempted, how alert you are. Immediately, can you say, no, I don't agree with it. Then I want to say, you're okay. Even if you slip up once or twice, you get up and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I slipped up. But, Lord, I want to put up a wholehearted fight against sin. Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight. And if you want to know how Jesus lived on this earth, I want to invite you this morning to look at the thought life of Jesus. You know, all sin was judged in his thoughts. In Romans 8:2 it says, what the law could not do, God did, sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and sin was judged in the flesh. Or I can say it was judged in his thoughts, because Jesus was radical. Immediately he said no. And I believe that's how Jesus did not take long time to complete this new and the living way. He, because he was wholehearted, he dealt with every sin and overcame. He had a mind to suffer in the flesh. The Bible says 1 Peter 4, 1. Jesus was not double-minded. Shall I sin and not sin? He was not playing the fool with the sin. He said no and no and no and no. And all the way till the end, no. And that's being wholehearted, brothers and sisters. Daily say no. Suppose you're tempted 40 times daily. Say 40 times no. Then I say you're a wholehearted brother. And tomorrow I attempt it again. Keep saying no. And that is Christian life. And that's not a burden. Now sometimes people can give an impression Christian life is very heavy. It is not. You put up a battle and keep saying no, no, no. And you will become stronger and stronger. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. I like that. That's what we should be able to tell the devil. Jesus knew God's word. And his mind was filled with God's word. And Jesus' mind was, how can I fulfill the scripture till the end of his life? Oh, how wonderful to come to such a place that we can say, Lord, I want the scriptures to be fulfilled in my life. And Jesus had low thoughts about himself. He dealt with all pride in his life. And he conquered it. And he could say, I am meek and lowly. Or he can say, Jesus could say, I got low thoughts about myself. And that's the way one ought to live. And I also want to invite you this morning to look at the thought life of Paul. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5, he brings to captivity every thought. What a wonderful way to live. He said, I'm the least of all saints and apostles. And Philippians 4:8, it says, maybe you can look at that verse briefly. This is the thought life of Apostle Paul. You know, Apostle Paul had a filth in his mind. He also was tempted like us. And all kinds of thought used to come. You know what Apostle Paul used to do? He had a filter. He checked. Is it true? Is it honorable? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of good repute? And then let me think of that. Otherwise, I'll reject it. And you want to grow spiritually, brothers and sisters, be alert in your mind. Like it says in another place in 2 Peter, gird up the loins of your mind. And you know, you train your mind like that. Yeah, all sorts of thoughts come in. I say, no, I don't want that. That's not a good thought. That's not a pure thought. That's not a humble thought. That's not a loving thought. And you know, and the Lord finds that you're cooperating with the Holy Spirit, and you will grow spiritually. And you know, sometimes initially people can be restless. And I believe that's not God's will. Like it says in Isaiah, I will keep him whose mind is stayed on you in perfect peace. And I believe the Lord wants to bring us to a place where we are, our heart is constantly at rest. Only thoughts of peace. No restlessness. Every restlessness is eliminated. And then, you know what happens? You know, we often speak about the land of Canaan. And I think many times we don't understand what you're speaking about. We say it's land flowing with milk and honey. And that's not an imaginary kind of life. Shall I tell you what is the land of Canaan? A land flowing with milk and honey? It's a life where a whole way of thinking is changed. All the dirty, impure thoughts are replaced by pure thoughts. All thoughts of pride are replaced by humble thoughts. All unloving thoughts are replaced by loving thoughts. Only good thoughts. Only desiring the best for others. Only thoughts of peace. And constantly thinking about which word I can fulfill. And thoughts of faith. You know, whenever you have unbelief, when you doubt God's word, you get discouraged. The more you get faith in God's word, and you believe, and then you're encouraged, then only good thoughts about God. Oh, He loves us so much. Think loving thoughts about God. And I believe the Lord wants to do such a work after we are saved through the Holy Spirit, that in a short time, your whole thought life can be purified, cleansed, and become glorious. And that's the work God's doing. That's to become like Jesus. You know, Tozer said, God dwells in our thoughts. And our thoughts should be a sanctuary for God. You know, God doesn't dwell if our thoughts are impure, covetous, proud. And that's why we need to take our thoughts seriously. And that's why it says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. You can't take your thoughts lightly. You say, oh brother, I can't control my thoughts. No, I believe the Lord wants to help us to capture those thoughts and overcome those thoughts and come to a place where those thoughts can't have power over you. And I believe that's what it means when it says Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. But renewing your mind, now you can think differently. Now you know, that's not a good thought. I'm not going to accept it. That's not, that trend of thought is not helping me spiritually. I don't want to think bad of that brother. And you know, it says in Philippians chapter 4 verse 7. Philippians chapter 4 verse 7. It's a lovely verse. So verse 6 says, don't be anxious for anything but pray. Then verse 7 it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds, or we can say thoughts in Christ Jesus. God's peace. I mean, God wants to guard our thoughts through His peace. And you know, there was a sister called Anne, and she lost her husband suddenly, and she lost all the wealth, and she had to survive. But she had a strong connection with the Lord. And then, you know, she had nothing to live on. And then she wrote a beautiful song. Can we have that on the screen, please? You know, we don't sing much this song, but you know, the song says, there's a peace in my heart that the world never gave. A peace it cannot take away. Though the trials of life may surround like a cloud, I have a peace that has come there to say. And then the chorus says, constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Imagine a young sister, she lost her husband, lost her wealth, and she could say, constantly abiding rapture divine, he never leaves me lonely. I will never leave you, Jesus is mine. Oh, she knew the Lord in such a personal, intimate way. I don't think the sister attended so many conferences like us. I don't think she had much fellowship. But she had such a connection with the Lord that even when her husband died, it did not shake her faith. And such an anointed song came forth from her life. And those of you who don't know this song can learn this song. It says, all the world seemed to sing of a Savior and King when peace sweetly came to my heart. Troubles all fled away and my night turned to day. Blessed Jesus, how glorious thou art. And it blessed my heart. And I believe that's Christianity, brothers and sisters. No matter what happens, your heart can be at rest. Your thoughts can be at rest. And you know, we are as spiritual as our thoughts. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, a good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. 12:35. And the evil man brings over the evil treasure. What's evil? You know what is God's intention? After we become saved, in a short time, our heart must become a good treasure, filled with good things. That means you have a glorious thought life. Wonderful thoughts are there in your heart and mind. And they come forth. And it says in another place, from Mark 7, you know, from a good heart, good words come forth. You take care of your thoughts, and good words will come forth. And I believe that's a wonderful way to live on this earth. Even if we don't accomplish great things for the Lord, I believe we should be able to say, God's made me a good man. Can you say that, brother? You say, brother, how can I say that? You can. Why not? I believe the Lord wants to do such a glorious work in you and me in a short time. You young brothers, I hope you have faith. You talk about Canaan and all. I hope we'll come to reality. And I hope we can say, God's given me a good treasure in my heart. My mind is filled with good thoughts. Only good thoughts. Only thoughts to bless the brothers and sisters. How wonderful to live like that. No boasting. To be able to say, God, that's the work God seeks to do in us, so that even though we can't see each other's heart and mind, when the Lord sees, I hope, like it says in Proverbs, Psalms 45, the bride is glorious within. That's the wonderful work the Lord wants to do in our lives. And I want to tell you all the husbands and wives, you want a good marriage? Begin with good thoughts about your partner. Get rid of all suspicious thoughts, unloving thoughts, critical thoughts, judgmental thoughts, and all negative thoughts in marriage. And just see in a short time how quickly your marriage is blessed. Oh, it's so wonderful when husband and wife can have good thoughts about each other. And I want to say this morning, brothers and sisters, that's the life of Canaan. That's the land of Canaan. That's the life God wants to lead us. And oh, I believe we should be gripped by this life and say, Lord, do such a fantastic work in me, Lord. In a short time, Lord, that when we come to the end of our life, the Lord can say, well done, you've been good and faithful. You're not popular, but you are glorious within. And I believe the Lord will happily welcome you when our time on earth is over. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's take heed to our thoughts. And let's obey the exhortation, Proverbs verse 4:23,
Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. May the Lord work in us mightily, give us a wonderful thought life, make us glorious brothers and sisters, and make us a glorious church. Amen.
Many a time people say, "Brother, I can't help it. My thought life is so dirty, and I don't know how to control my thoughts." And some people think that whatever thoughts come to our mind, it's just natural. It's just not natural. It is not normal. You can choose to think what you want to think. That's the good news. You can choose what you want to think, and you can reject what you don't want to think about. Somebody said, "You change your thoughts and you change your world." Thoughts are like seeds. You plant them, you plant a seed, it grows. And it keeps growing as you keep watering it. A thought can become a deed can become a habit can become a character, and a character can become a destiny. So they progress, thoughts progress. That's why the word of God is very clear. We read about that in Proverbs 4:23. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. If you want a clean thought life, reject unclean thoughts. Say goodbye to them. And only think about those things of which we read in Philippians 4:8, things that are true, things that are noble, things that are pure, things that are of noteworthy, things that you can be thankful for, any virtue, any goodness that you find in others. Think about them. Don't think about the negative things that you find in people and around you and in your life partner and in your children. Think about those things that build up fellowship with one another, build up relationships with one another. I think it was John Milton who said in Paradise Lost, he said one sentence something like this, that mind is everything, and you can make hell out of heaven, heaven out of hell. That's true in a sense. You want happiness? God has promised it in His word. It says in Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." That means if your mind is set on the things above and not on the things of this earth, and your mind is set on God, then you experience perfect peace. Then you will not be, you know, like the troubled sea that many wicked people's lives are. Wicked people's lives, the Bible says in Isaiah that their lives are like the wave of the sea that keeps on bringing up the muck all the time. It's because of the wicked thoughts that they allow them to lodge in their mind. If you allow good thoughts, peaceful thoughts, thoughts of goodness towards each other, thoughts of welfare, just like God thinks towards us. He says, "I am not thinking about God thoughts of calamity towards you. I am thinking about thoughts of welfare towards you, to do good to you, to give you a future and a hope." Do we give a future and a hope to our brothers and sisters, our children at home, our life partners? Or we are always critical, always judgmental, always try to put everything under microscope? The more you do that, the more some people are scared of these microbes and these microorganisms which cause sicknesses. What is that phobia called? Some phobia. You know, they're all the time, these lab technicians, they always watch what disease is there in this blood, in this sample of, whatever, body fluids. We don't need to be like that. We don't to magnify the shortcomings of people. You can magnify the good points in them. You can magnify the Lord. You can magnify their virtues and their goodness and their nobility and their altruism and things like that. You know, we have all become today what we are is because of the little thoughts that we have thought in the past, and little choices that we have made in the past. And today what you and I are the result of our past. We are the product of our past. If it is good, well and good. If it is not good, there is good news for you, that you don't need to be a prisoner of your past. You can change by changing your thought. You can be a better person. When Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? 7 times? Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. That means 490 times. If you put that in your waking hours, leaving aside your 8 hours of sleep, it is almost like every 2 to 3 minutes, if somebody comes and says, brother, please forgive me, I did this. Please forgive me, I did that. You say, it's forgiven. It's forgiven. So if evil thoughts keep coming to your mind, haunting like that, every 2 to 3 minutes, you can keep on rejecting them, just like that. Just like the Lord said. So the more you do that, your mind may be dirty today, 100%, but you can start all over again with one drop of clean water, another drop, drop after drop after drop. And the more you fill with clean water, the dirty water has to go. And your mind will become clean and clear and pure. And your heart will be pure, and blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God, Jesus said in one of the Beatitudes. It says in Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Unrighteousness comes through our thought. Let the wicked forsake his way, and unrighteous man his thoughts. As you forsake and reject unrighteous thoughts, you become righteous. And wicked thoughts, you become good man. Deal with your thought life, then see if your life will not change, if you will not change. No, we read about Cain in Genesis 4. God asked him, what's the problem with you? Why your face is fallen? If you intend well, will not your countenance be lifted? Will you not be happy? If you have good thoughts about others, if you are the kind who rejoices over the good that happens to others, then you have arrived somewhere, brother. If you rejoice when your enemy falls, then be careful. God may turn that against you. But if something good happens to another person and he is doing well and I rejoice with him, it says love is not jealous. It rejoices with those who rejoice and things like that. Divine love is like that. So that's where you know that you're making progress. And we also read in Luke that the good man out of his good treasure brings forth good fruit. And wicked man out of his wicked treasure of our wicked heart, he brings only that which is worthless. If your fountain is clean, then the spring will be, the source is clean, the spring will be clean. If the source is filthy and dirty, then your spring will also spout forth something that is impure, that is not a blessing, that pollutes not only you, those around you. See, evil has a tremendous influence to affect people, but not goodness. It says in somewhere in Haggai, I think, if you carry some filth in your bosom and go, you will not, I mean, that will definitely pollute you. But, even if a holy man carries some filth in his heart, it pollutes him. And if a wicked man carries something good in his heart, it will not make him holy immediately. So we need to work on that. That's why we read in Romans 12, it says in Romans 12 verse 3, or maybe we can read from verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If renewal of the mind was not possible, God wouldn't have given this word in his scripture, in his word. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. God wants us to think soberly in proportion to the faith that he has given to us. We don't need to think high thoughts about ourselves. We can be sober and we can have a right assessment of ourselves and have right thoughts about ourselves and humble thoughts about ourselves. For the word of God is very clear that he wants us to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We read that in 2 Corinthians 5:10. 10:5, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This is our calling, not let any and every thought just, you know, keep its onslaught on us. No. We have the choice. We can make a choice to allow that which is profitable for us and reject that which is not profitable for us. Bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If it is something sinful, confess it, forsake it, and ask the Lord to give you grace, and then you can carry on. Like, I like that what Brother Newton shared about what Tozer said. God dwells in our thoughts. It is his sanctuary. Our heart, our mind is supposed to be God's sanctuary. I would like to close with one last word from Proverbs 4. You know, God gives his word so that it transforms us. It not only transforms us, it gives us good health. Would you like to have good health? Who doesn't want it? Everybody wants it. You know how we get good health? There is another way. It's not only through medicine, not only through doctors, not only through divine healing. But there's another way of divine healing, and that it says here in verse 20, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, God speaking to us, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your sight, keep them in the midst of your heart. To keep them in the midst of your heart means that you make it the central thing in your life. What is it? That is the word of God. I keep it in the midst of my heart. And then what happens? The result is, next verse, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their whole body. It's health and life to us as we keep God's word in the midst of our heart. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, in that connection, we read further in verse 24, 25, 26 onwards, there are four things that the Lord tells about. One is, you know, he speaks about the mouth. Jesus said, what fills the heart overflows through the mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when your heart is filled with something, the same thing comes out through your mouth. So the mouth, and then it says in verse 25, let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. The second thing is the eye. And then the third thing is verse 26, watch the path of your feet. And the heart, verse 23, the mouth, verse 24, eyes, verse 25, and feet, verse 26. As we keep our heart with all diligence, all these other members of our body will fall in place and they will follow God's ways. And you will be amazed to see how your life will be changed, transformed, and you'll become a new creature, definitely. And you'll be renewed. And you will see the difference in yourself, and others also can notice the difference in you. And then you're no longer the same. If any man is in Christ Jesus, old things have passed away, and all things, behold, all things have become new. And it happens gradually too. After once you are converted, there is a lot of filth that we need to throw out from our old baggage and cleanse ourselves in the fear of God, perfecting holiness and sanctification, which is a lifelong process. And the Lord is with us to help us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he who has begun a good work in you, I'm sure, Paul says in Philippians 1:6, that he will complete it. Let's say amen to that.
Brothers and sisters, I want if you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 46. Especially want to speak to young people in relation to what we heard today. It says, take to your heart all the words which I am warning you today, and command your sons to observe carefully. Take to your heart all the words that you heard today. In verse 47, it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. By this word you will prolong your days in the land. That's the promised land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. And sisters, I know as young people, when we hear about victory in our thought life, it can seem like this is just impossible. This is not happening. This is not something that really can happen. And I just want to say in God's name that it can happen. And God can do this. And he is doing this in our midst. And this is his will. And to take it to heart, to say that, yes, Lord, I want to start today. And I want to see a change in my thought life. And this is something that you can do in me by your grace. This is not an idle word. This is life. This is your life. This is the life that you have promised for me. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. I was thinking about that skit we saw recently where we saw there are giants in the land. And for many years we served these giants. We said yes. When a giant said something, he said, yes, boss, whatever you say. You know, there was a pleasure we got out of it. And then, you know, we come face to face with these giants and to know that they're there. Yes, they're there in the land. We're not fooling ourselves. They're there. But I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will fight these giants. And it's not my strength. It's in the name of Jesus. I am going to fight these giants. And these thoughts, they may come in like a flood, but the battle belongs to the Lord. And just to say, yes, Lord, I want to come to you. And I believe that you can write that faith in my heart. As young people, there's a verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, that we should be familiar with if we haven't heard it before. It says, flee from youthful lusts. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee from youthful lusts. But notice this, it doesn't just say flee from youthful lusts. In the same verse, it says, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Okay? So, we have to fill our thoughts with these good things. We have to fill our thoughts with faith, dependence on God. Yes, there is a God. He saves me. He can save me. I'm going to, and He loves me. And He's mighty to save. and He is the one who gives me peace. I pursue these things, and that is how I flee from youthful lust. Although you can go running around in circles, you know, like you saw those children on stage, they were running around in circles, giants everywhere. No, there is a God who saves me. And I am going to call on His name. It says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. I don't have strength, but the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. He is able to save me. In my moment of need, He is able to save me. Brothers and sisters, we have to practice this. And we'll see that it is true. God is mighty to save. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. I can run. I flee from youthful lust, but I run to Him. And just before that, it talks about, you know, avoiding worldly and empty chatter. Worldly and empty chatter is not going to save you. It will only lead to further ungodliness. The verse after that says, refuse foolish and ignorant speculations. Foolish and ignorant speculations are not going to save me. But when I turn to Jesus, I think about Him. I think about His love. He is mighty to save. I just want to end with 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation, also a familiar verse. No temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, will make a way of escape so that you are able to endure it. And just what really struck me over there is the verse before that. Let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. It's always when we think we stand, brothers and sisters, that we fall. That is our fundamental battle, because we think we can do it and we can't. But when we run to the Lord, He's mighty to save. And you'll see that in the context of it. He says, don't be idolaters, don't act immorally, don't try the Lord, don't grumble. All these things happen for our instruction. Let him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. But when you come to the Lord, He is faithful. He will make a way of escape. And the name of the Lord is a strong tower. We can run to Him and He will save us. That's the promise, that's the hope that we have. Amen.